This is the Tom Likas Show.
You can make a loaf of bread for as little as a quarter.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
And a loaf of bread.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at LonelyFDial.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. Thank you for tuning in. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio, of course, is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Tom. Always a pleasure.
So what's going on with you as criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs?
Well, this could probably be several hours, Tom, but I want to give you the short version on the show today. I don't want to blow the audience's mind. But this is something that I've been working on and thinking about, and I have some really good example from some of my real work today. We're going to have a very interesting person come on who's my client in court today. But I want to talk about this, and it is important. It relates very much to criminal law. I mean, people have expectations of the things that they see on television, and I want to talk a little bit about how things really work in the real world. And this is what people actually face. You know, there are a lot of people who think that, you know, you always go on trial. And the truth is that trials are actually very unusual, generally less than 1% of cases. And in criminal cases, you know, most cases are done with pleas and plea bargains. And one of the great skills of a good attorney, something that I try to do well, is to get people, you know, we always talk about this in my advertising, right, the best possible deal or at least get the charges reduced or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing is that people face really difficult choices. Let me give you a small example, Tom, and this will, you know, be very clear, I think. I know a couple of people that were charged with, you know, serious financial crimes, and that generally goes under federal offenses, and they're facing unbelievably lengthy prison sentences, like, I don't know, 20 years. And, you know, they're offered pleas, which means that they'll take a plea, and they'll end up serving, let's say, 2 years. Now, if a person believes that they're innocent and they really have a good defense, you know, they want to go to trial. But that's really taking a gigantic risk because, you know, it's one thing to, like, tell your children and your wife and whatnot that you're going to go to jail for 2 years. You know, you get out, you know, it's sad and everyone misses you. But, you know, you get out in 2 years, you're still, like, kind of aligned with the things that you were doing before. You know, if your son's 8 years old, you get out in 2 years, now he's 10 years old. But if you face 20 years, he's 8 years old, you're going to get out when he's 28? He's not even going to know you anymore. And, you know, particularly for federal offenses, there's no parole, so you serve the whole thing. So, as a practical matter, I did a case today, and I think we have our guest on. What are we calling him today, Tom?
Let me take a look here. He is called Larry.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about it because Larry made a couple of mistakes. He talked to the cops, which is just, I can't even get into that one. We're going to discuss that, the old keep your mouth shut thing. But Larry faced, you know, it was a driving under the influence of marijuana case. And he has a marijuana prescription, so it wasn't actually having the marijuana. That wasn't the issue. It wasn't possession, but it was the driving. And the issue was, you know, we had some very serious defenses, and we could perhaps have won the case. And we were close to starting the trial. The trial was going to start tomorrow. And, you know, I negotiated a good deal, and then I negotiated an even better deal. And then in the end, I negotiated an even better deal. And it was this very difficult choice that we had to make. And it's good because it was fresh. It happened today. And I really appreciate Larry coming on to talk about it. But it's a very difficult choice to decide whether you want to go forward with the crapshoot, which is the trial, or you want to just, you know, take the pretty good deal and, you know, do the best you can and not let it get to be any worse. If you see what I mean, Tom.
I do, of course.
So let's get him on. I want to talk to him.
All right, Larry, thank you for joining us here.
Hi, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Larry, you on? How you doing?
Yes. Hey.
So I wanted just to talk briefly. I really appreciate you coming on. I know this is kind of still, you know, very emotional for you. This happened this morning, right? So we're like, you and I are just sort of coming off of this.
Yeah, it just happened at 11 a.m.
Unbelievable. So it seems like, you know, it was this unbelievable decision and so forth. I wanted you to talk about it with the guys a little. Now, I know that one thing that was really important, and I think you went in knowing you're not supposed to talk to the cops, and you kind of did anyway. And I know that they used a little sort of police psychology on you, which is just tell us what happened and we'll let you go, or it'll be better if you're honest or something like that. How did that go?
Yeah, they when they pulled me over, it was a checkpoint. So the cop was told me, as long as you answer all my questions, I'll let you go.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to convince him and just answer his questions and I could go.
So people believe it, like, you know, if they cooperate. Tom, you remember that Chris Rock one where the your girlfriend's pressing you that you cheated and she's like, you know, if you tell me, it'll be all right, you know?
Right.
That starts
well, I'm just imagining this scenario. If you answer all my questions, you'll be fine. Okay, officer,
right.
Go ahead.
Worth
are
that.
You drunk? Yes.
How many beers? 12. No, but not only that, it's like, it's not just you'll be all right, I'll let you go, you know?
Right.
You'll be home tonight if you just cooperate, you know?
Which is bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit. So, Larry, tell us some more. So this was, I think it was a checkpoint. So you missed Mr. Checkpoint that day.
Yeah. It was a checkpoint that I rolled into. I turned into the checkpoint, and, you know, he told me, you know, as long as you answer all my questions, I'll just let you go. So he got me out the car, and he told me, let me do the, you want to do the field sobriety test, which was my other mistake. You know, I should have never done it, but here I'm thinking I could convince him and I could pass it.
No, see, there's no way. You can't pass the field sobriety test. It doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to pass. So that's just giving them what's called probable cause. And I think he also asked you to do the breathalyzer, right? And you agreed?
Yeah, I agreed. I blew zero. And after that, he requested to take the blood, which I also agreed to that.
Right, right. Which is correct, by the way. This is what I always tell everybody, Tom, you know, not to do the blow test, but to do the blood test because it's much more accurate. Now, what ended up happening in Larry's case is that Larry's blood showed positive for marijuana. And so he was charged with DUI, driving under the influence, in this case of marijuana. And one of the things that kind of went on, and this is something that people really wish for, was, you know, originally, and Larry, you're some kind of a driver, right?
Yes.
What is that? You're a truck driver? You're a commercial driver?
No, I'm a courier.
Courier, okay. So that's significant because, as I understand, if you had a DUI, that would be the end of your career there, right? You wouldn't be able to be a driver anymore, a courier.
Yeah, that's correct. I would lose my job.
All right, so that's pretty heavy stuff. So you see how it's all set up, Tom, right? I mean, this is like, you know, high stakes, okay? So
of course.
The bottom line is that they start off with the driving under the influence, and I go to several hearings, and as I'm chipping away, I get it down to what's called a wet reckless, which is much less serious than a DUI. I then get it down to a dry reckless. And then ultimately, I get it off of the driving under the influence completely. And I convince the prosecutor to accept an exhibition of speed, which isn't even an under the influence thing at all. It's a crime of, like, racing. You know, it's like you and another car, like, racing or driving too fast or whatever, being reckless in driving. So they're suggesting to forget the whole drug side of it and have Larry plead guilty, because Gary's making faces at me now, to have him plead guilty to a speed exhibition, which is relatively not very serious compared to a DUI. Now, all the time I'm thinking, you know, we have good defenses. We have very strong evidence in our favor. I have an expert witness who's going to testify, and I think we can win the trial. But this is the dilemma, because if we lose the trial, then it's going to be the whole thing, the DUI, and he's going to lose his job. And on the other hand, you know, there are people that are depending on him. He has children and a family and a wife. And so if he loses his job, it's very catastrophic. On the other hand, he can plead to this much reduced charge, which is the speed exhibition, and that's relatively benign. You know, that's like a point or two on the license, a fine, no big deal. Right, right, Larry? So you're kind of dealing with that today, right?
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to say is at the beginning, when you told me that they offered me a wet reckless, I was already kind of giving up, and I was going to, I told you to go ahead and plead to it, and you're the one that convinced me, you know, come on, give it a shot. And we did, and this is the outcome of what happened. You know, you're trying harder than I was at the beginning.
See, Tom, that even happens sometimes where I'm trying to push for a better and better deal, and the client is right. telling me I'm exhausted, I can't take it, I just want it to be over with. You know, it's very stressful for people, and they'll say, oh, God, just take the deal, take the deal. And I'm actually pushing for an even better deal. A lot of lawyers probably would just say, oh, he wants the deal, the hell with it, and walk away, you know. But I was trying to get him the best possible situation. And you and I kind of got into a little bit of conflict, didn't we, Larry?
Yes.
I don't mind you talking about it. It's okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. So when I went ahead and told him, go ahead and plead out to wet reckless, he was like, it's a shame you don't have balls and you're being a pussy because I think you could win this case. You know, if it hadn't been for that, then, you know, we wouldn't have gotten the DUI just dropped.
Right, right.
So you see, I would have been convicted. This was like 2 months ago.
You see, Tom, so sometimes I'm kind of pushing harder than even the client wants to, you know?
Wow.
But
because the client is the one taking the risk and is the one that's all worried about going to jail, is all worried
right.
about what the penalties are going to be. In my own case, when I was the one time I was arrested and thrown in jail for a night, I was offered all kinds of options, and I chose the option where I did not have to go in front of a jury because that's very risky.
Right.
Even though I knew I was innocent, even though I knew I didn't do what they said I did, even though I knew the alleged victim of my violence was not willing to testify against me. It didn't matter. There were people who were going to go for a conviction regardless. And so what was the point of taking a chance like that? So I did not.
Right. Well, like they say, the jury is always unpredictable. It's always a crapshoot. But, you know, what happens in the conflict, and this is when they talk about, like, you know, being ethical as a lawyer. You know, if I've gotten paid and I'm doing my job, I'm supposed to do what the client wants. But as you see what happened between Larry and I is I was saying to him, why are you being a pussy, you know, just taking the first offer? Let's try to get you something better. And ultimately, I got him something a lot better where he pled to something that had nothing to do with driving under the influence at all, you know. But even he couldn't see that at the time. And I think his pressure and his emotion was saying, I just need this closed. So anyway, today we went in and we were looking at either – you know, accepting the speed exhibition or going to trial. And I think I was leaning towards going to trial. And I think that Larry was, you know, saying that's really scary for me. That's really risky. If it goes wrong, you know, I mean, it's kind of like that, Tom. If I win the case, then I'm a genius, you know. But if I lose the case, then the client's like, you idiot. I can't believe it. I had this great deal and you let it slide, you know. And we went in front of the judge, and the judge said, Larry, what did the judge tell you? The judge was pretty honest with you today, I thought.
Yeah, he told me that he did a double reduction.
Right.
And normally nobody really gets this deal. I mean, he didn't really say it, but he said that I'd be stupid to turn it down.
Right. He felt that it was an exceptional deal that I had negotiated and that it was a mistake to try to go for the trial. And I think ultimately you were giving me percentages at first, right? You were telling me you were 50% convinced or something, and then you were 75%
convinced. Yeah, I was 75% leaning toward the deal. And then when he brought up my past, because I didn't think that my past would be used against me, which is another issue I had, which I should have gotten expunged. But I didn't, and because I didn't, it could have been used against me.
Yeah, there's a prior conviction from 2006.
Yes.
Unrelated. So what the judge started saying was, Tom, was that, you know, if you're convicted of this new thing, of the DUI, I'm going to consider your old conviction from 06 obviously, you know, a prior in your sentencing, and I might put you in jail.
So, yeah, he's there for 30 to 90 days.
Right.
If I were to get convicted.
Now, obviously, that's not, you know, the end of the world, 90 days or 30 days or whatever, but obviously that's not something very pleasant either. So people are faced with these choices. Now, when I look at the whole totality of Larry's situation, you know, Larry made a lot of comments to the police when he was pulled over. And he basically admitted that he had smoked a joint or he had lit it up or whatever. And we saw the cop, right, Larry?
Yeah, we saw him. He was outside waiting.
He was waiting. He's earning double time, I think, coming to court. But the big question is, you know, was do you think he was going to testify against you? I'd say yes.
Oh, yeah, he would have. He would have said that it was a heavy odor. He had written that on the police report anyway, that my eyes were bloodshot. You see, this wouldn't have been an issue had I not talked.
Right.
Had I not talked and just gone with the blood work, this would have been an easy case. But just because I stupidly admitted to it, you know, just taking one hit. In my mind, I was like, well, I just took one hit a couple of hours ago.
Right.
Thinking that, you know, I'm not, so he wasn't stoned anymore. Thinking that he could, you know, come to that conclusion that I wasn't. But as soon as I said that, that's it. He made up his mind and I was going to jail.
Yeah. I'm surprised. And remember we were talking about this, Larry, and this is also an interesting thing to raise. You said that, you know, in your prior arrest, which whatever, it doesn't matter, it's years ago, you had also spoken to the police and so forth. And I thought that was especially interesting, you know, considering you had the experience of being in the justice system once before. Why did you talk to the cops again, knowing what you know?
Just because he said that if I answered all the questions, he would let me go.
I understand.
And here I'm thinking, you know, as long as I'm honest to him, he's going to let me go.
Yeah. I'm just surprised that you fell for that, considering the fact that you had, you know, been through it before. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
It just seems that, I guess being, you know, in that pressure situation, Tom, you know, a lot of people start, you know, forgetting the golden rules. I've had a couple of people call me recently who are big fans of your show, Tom, and big fans of the show with me and you. And mm-hmm. They say, I heard you say not to talk to the cops, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Adam, and I did anyway. You know, and you're like,
oh, my.
Jeez, I just talked to you about this. And they say, yeah, I know. I don't know what to say. I couldn't help myself. The cops started asking me questions, and I figured if I cooperated, I'd be better off or whatever. I talked to a guy today who told me that the cop said to him, have you been drinking? And he said, I just had about 5 or 6 beers, you know, which is like confessing, essentially. I mean, five
what?
Or six beers is very intoxicated. So, anyway, not the most brilliant technique, I would say. But what
nice.
Ends up happening, as we see, and I think this is the great thing I want the guys to get, certainly not talking, but I think that what ends up happening in a lot of cases, like I said, because so few cases go to trial, is that we have a lot of people that are facing this tremendous dilemma, which, like I've said, you know, plead guilty and get 2 years or, you know, risk a trial and get 20. And in the case of, you know, not as extreme with Larry here, you know, Larry was unable to get convicted at all because he would lose his job. He didn't want to serve 30 or 60 or whatever, even take the risk of it. And so he took what's a good deal. I mean, Larry, you're pretty happy with the outcome, right?
Yeah, I'm happy because when I went into this, I didn't think he would be able to get me more than dry reckless.
Right. Okay, so you can't say that, like, you're like, not happy with the whole, you know, the way I handled it or whatever. But at the same time, I'm a little troubled even talking to you about it now, and certainly today when we were in court, because, you know, in my heart of hearts, I think you're innocent. I don't think you were intoxicated at all. If you were slightly intoxicated by marijuana, we don't even know what marijuana intoxication is. There's no standard. And it's not like, you know, alcohol where it's 0.08 or whatever. Marijuana doesn't have something like that. And I don't know that if we hadn't gone to trial, we might have been able to convince a jury that you weren't intoxicated. But we tried to get you the best possible deal not to go to the trial and have a jury because of the unpredictability factor. And that's reality, Tom. That's how it really goes in the real world.
Wow. Wow.
Now,
well,
you know that too, right, Tom? That happened to you.
Well, of course.
So, I mean, how do you deal with that? That's very painful. And by the way, now we'll never know. I mean, I would like to have done the trial and see what happens, but I
want to tell you something about my own case.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, one of the reasons I took the deal I got was because I was about to start a new syndicated radio show
right.
in a few weeks.
I was going
to
screw up your career.
At 3,000 miles from where the trial was going to take place. Not only screw up my career, but I would have to take a week off or two and be in Boston for a week or two.
Right.
And then to take a chance that the jury is going to be a bunch of insane people or chicks or whatever. And this was much more manageable in my life, you know. 3,000 miles away, you know, I'll just bang this out even though I know I didn't do it. You know, I've gotten speeding tickets where the cop said you're going 72, and I knew I wasn't going 72, and I knew he didn't have a radar gun.
Right.
But okay, what are you gonna do? You go into court, and the cop is always favored over the person accused. That's it.
Nah, I fight those. You know that, Tom.
I know you do.
The thing
well,
is,
good, because I've got one here for you. I'm gonna talk to you.
I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, don't worry. Got it right here.
No problem. But, you know, I won your last one, so there we go. I'm one for one so far.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, I mean, a speeding ticket, obviously a lot less consequential. And we see something in the mid-range, and like I said, I was able to negotiate an exceptionally good deal for him. But there is a part of my mind and my conscience that gnaws at me. And it's like, you know, we could have done it. We could have won this case. And then he would have been acquitted properly, and that would have been it. Now, I mean, it's a very, very tough choice, and this is something that people face all the time. And you can see sometimes the prosecution will make you an offer, and if you don't take it within a hearing or, you know, whatever date, as the trial gets closer, they take it off the table, and now it's gone. And you're going to feel pretty stupid serving, you know, 5 years when you could have pled it down to 6 months. But the problem is, if you're innocent, there's got to be a lot of people in jail that pled guilty to crimes that they were innocent of because they didn't have the money to go to trial or they were too scared. I mean, Tom, you pled guilty to something you were innocent of because of circumstances, right?
But I was in a diversion program where if I completed my 6 months in an industrial park with a brutal lesbian and a bunch of cholos with drug habits, then it would be done. That would the whole thing would go away, and it did.
It seems to me that that was an injustice, because the truth is you were innocent. So why should
not
you have
was
to do
I
a,
innocent,
yeah,
but
why
I
should
was,
you have to do a diversion program?
I agree, but I would
nonsense.
Have had, it was February, and I had to I would have had to go back to Boston from L.A. in October or November. And, so they had me by the balls.
I totally see that.
And the district attorney was up for re-election.
Well, that's
and
true.
He caught a live one.
That's probably and more important than the whole rest of the story.
No doubt about it. They caught a live one. They got somebody who was a public figure.
High profile.
High profile. It was in the paper every day that the district attorney was going to be tough on me for months. So, you know, the deck was stacking against me, and then you add on the fact that I would have had to leave my syndicated show 5 months after it started to go be in Boston for an indeterminate period of time to defend myself against charges that, where I knew I was innocent, but I also knew that the press was against me and everybody was just gunning for me. They wanted blood, and I couldn't give them that opportunity. I couldn't do that.
Right. And you see
you
how
typing over there? Wait a minute.
That was Gary. Now, you see how we
he's
have...
Tracking.
What? It was him. I saw you just now. Don't be Mr. Innocent. You got your hand on the keyboard. Right, Tom, I swear to God it was Gary.
Oh, you heard me typing? Yeah,
yes.
That was me.
Damn
yeah.
Right it was. You see that, Tom?
Yeah. Just checking.
No, I almost got blamed.
Yeah. For some reason today, Adam is speaking so softly that I have his mic completely cranked out.
Really?
Yeah. And now you're picking up my keyboard from 10 feet away.
Uh-huh.
That's okay.
It's my fault.
Try a little stronger.
Thank you.
From the diaphragm, from deep within.
There's my producer right there, Tom.
Exactly.
Understood. Always taking care of me. So the thing I've is, you know, Tom, it's you know, I understand you did the diversion and it got wiped away, and your whole circumstance makes perfect sense to me. Okay, I got that. I understand why you did what you did. But at the same time, You're an innocent man, and you pled guilty to something that you weren't guilty of, okay, because you were compelled to, because the alternative was too scary, okay?
Plus, I lied to the lesbian and told her that I did it, because she told me if I didn't say I did it, I would never get out.
Right.
I'd be kept in there in perpetuity.
I understand. So if you think about it.
So what do you do?
I know, but it makes a fraud of the system, okay?
But I'm innocent. The system is a fraud.
Okay,
now,
well.
You know,
oh,
and I...
Oh, shit.
And I know you're a ward of the court, but I have to say...
A ward of the court?
Yes.
I'm not a ward of the court.
Well, whatever they call it. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm an officer of court, for God's sake.
Officer of the court. But you know what I'm saying.
A ward is like a child, Tom.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Remember Batman had a ward?
You have to support the system. You've taken a pledge or an oath.
Shit.
You pass the bar, whatever. But I didn't. And all I'm going to say is the system is a sham, and we know it's a sham.
Jesus.
Look at the guy that we had on the show, who the producer who got handcuffed and taken into custody in Beverly Hills when he went to the meter to put money in the parking meter.
That's more about racism, actually. But when you
it's the same system.
Well, I'm not very proud of that if that's the system. But the bottom line is that at the same time, you know, it's the blood, sweat, and tears of a human being to go on trial, costs a lot of money and time, and it's a crapshoot. And so he pleads guilty when he's not, but he gets a pretty good deal and he walks away and counts himself lucky. Okay? So that's reality. That's what a lot of people have to deal with, and that's why I wanted to highlight that today.
Understood.
Any last thoughts, Larry?
Yeah, the one thing I forgot to mention also was that you were able to knock off my probation time in half.
Right, right. Well, they started with 3 years probation, then they made it 2 years, and I talked them down to 1 year. So that was good.
Yeah, so the only thing I guess I could tell anybody is whenever the cop pulls you over and you've been smoking weed or drinking, you know, just don't tell them anything. Just go for the blood test. You're always going to fail the field sobriety test anyway, so there's no point of you taking it.
Yeah, there's no way.
Be quiet and tell them to take out the blood.
Yeah. And you got to stick to your guns. When they start talking to you about, hey, you know, be honest with me, tell me what's going on, it'll be better for you. Say, I'm sorry, officer. I'm really, I want to exercise my right to remain silent. I want my lawyer here. That's the best advice. But I'm glad it worked out for you somehow, Larry, and I hope you were happy with my work. That's the important thing, too.
Yeah, I was happy.
That's good. I appreciate it.
All right, Larry, thank you. Thank you for that story. Wow.
Well, there Amazing it is, Tom. Story. That's what goes on. And listen, your own experience and the other experiences, that's 99%. You know, people think right. they're gonna actually, the judge said it to Larry. He says, if you think, you know, you're going to be acquitted and get an apology, you know, don't right. hold your breath, you know?
Right.
People think they'll be vindicated, you know? Life should be so simple.
I know. Plus, he was stoned, right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't confuse me with the facts, okay?
All right, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back with some phone calls for Adam Sachs in our bonus hour. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs is here, and we're going to start off, Adam, when we come back, with a caller who wants to ask about the new California sexual consent law.
Oh, good one.
Also known as Yes Means Yes.
Right.
And, yeah, we haven't discussed this yet, so this will be a good chance for you to opine. Right?
Oh, God.
And it's coming up. If you've got a question about the law for Adam, call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM is our number. 901-3000-TOM. You can dial us right now at 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslo since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslo. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Costlo has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CostloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CostloInsurance.com today. Costlo. C-O-S-T-L-O.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show. What's more patriotic than two guys sitting at a table, one drunk, the other high on pills, shooting the shit about a bunch of stupid stuff? Guts, glory, stupidity. The Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
Everyone knows someone in a bad marriage or relationship who doesn't get laid and puts up with all kinds of crap. Well, now there's a new YouTube show about why you shouldn't get married or have kids. It's called I Don't. The show follows a young guy who's planning to propose to his girlfriend, but is confronted by his two older brothers on whether or not to go through with it. Now, one brother is happily married, and the other brother, happily single. Other Likas listeners are loving it. Arp on the Internet said this is like a Likas 101 instructional video. Joe Goodman said, wow, the series was awesome. Love the ending. And at Just Lauren B said, this is a 30-minute sitcom waiting to happen. All episodes are available for free right now on YouTube. Simply go to idontseries.com. That's idontseries.com. And don't forget to share it with that someone in your life. You'll be doing them a big favor. It's I Don't at idontseries.com.
Hammer time.
Sound like a show at 901-3000 Tom. That's our telephone number. Here we are in our bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at your service, answering your legal questions. And all you have to do is dial 901-3000 Tom if you want to talk to Adam. And go ahead, ask away. Tom, start dialing right now.
All right, so I heard a. Sorry.
No, I'm going to say 901-3000-866. All right, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. It's hard when you're not here, Tom. So I've got a rape joke, Tom.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well, since we're doing the yes means yes, so...
Well, all right. Adam Sachs with a rape joke.
So
right
ahead. So this woman was complaining about how she's exploited and how it's rape culture and all that stuff, and she says that... You know, the friend says to her, oh, my God, so what happened? What happened? She said, I was raped by a mime. And the friend goes, oh, my God. She says, yes, he did unspeakable things to me. How's that?
Oh, my.
Okay, so a woman's walking in an alley, okay? And a guy's walking behind her, and she's really scared, you know? And she's just, you know, he is just minding his own business, but, you know, she's living in the rape society and rape culture and stuff. So she walks for a while. She gets really scared. She turns around, and she looks at the guy and says, you're trying to rape me, aren't you? Is that what's going on here? You're following me so you can rape me. And the guy says, I don't know. Am I supposed to?
Oh, Jesus. There we go.
Oh, well.
I love
Fuck
having
that,
this freedom.
Motherfucker.
Love it. Let's say hi. Speaking of rape, let's say hi to Joe on the 210 freeway. Joe.
I was building up to Joe's call. That's the whole point.
All right. Here he is. Joe, what can we do for you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Joe.
So what do you want to talk about here, Joe? Go for it.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring up being in the same profession that Adam's in. Well, hopefully getting my degree soon. I just wanted to bring up, because I have a couple friends, younger brothers, that are heading over to college, to the UC system this year.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and I was trying to explain to them the risk that males take going to college in general nowadays. But regardless, I think the issue that I have is some of these clauses in this bill, especially about the double standards using alcohol, how the accused can never say alcohol is an excuse, but the accuser can say that they were intoxicated and therefore could not give it consent. In addition, all investigations that occur for the event through the school, apparently, and of course, as you know, probably Adam, you know, these hearings don't allow, a lot of them don't allow the accuser's attorney to be present in these hearings.
Of course not. That would be due process.
Yeah, that would be one, that would be just too fair. But but the thing is what's how what I don't. How I don't know how it's legal or through due process is that how are all these statements and all these hearings that can be given to the police after the school's hearing, even if the police have never charged you?
Right.
So you're not allowed an attorney to defend yourself, but yet if you make a statement into these, to these, you know, hearing boards that could incriminate you in some way, all documentation of the event is then passed to the police.
Right.
So I'm wondering, how is this due process of law?
Well, it's not, of course. You know, one of the things that's happening is that, you know, university campuses are becoming, you know, friendlier and friendlier to women and more unfriendly to men. This is what Gary refers to as the vaginization of, like, radio and television and so forth, and that's true of colleges. And, you know, when you are a young woman and you're going to, like, what they call freshman orientation, which is when you're, like, a new student at a school, you know, they're actually telling you, they're giving seminars, and they're doing, like, scenarios and psychodramas, and they're actually saying to young women, look, you're a victim. You're going to be a victim. This is what it is to be a victim. And it's almost an expectation at some point. When I went to university, they had this little play act thing, and they showed, it was, you know, it was done by the drama students or whatever it was, you know, some older students, but they did a thing where this guy and this girl are, like, on this, like, stage, and they're performing that they're at a party, and she's drinking, and the guy says, hey, you know, come up to my room, and he takes her to the room, and he has sex with her, and then, you know, it ends, and then this, you know, kind of person comes out and says, what did we just see? And people raised their hands, and they said, you know, people, you know, having sex, getting to know each other. And the instructor says, no, we just seen a crime. We just seen a woman get raped. And it's not funny, man.
No, I've been there. I went to a UC down in Orange County, so I'm very familiar with the presentation in which they present, you know, rape accusations,
yeah,
and how it's pretty.
You know, a young woman who, you know, might not be crazy and she might not be inclined to make a false accusation, she's being told, look, you're a victim. Don't you see that? You couldn't have consented. You didn't know what you were doing. And when you wake up in the morning and you feel guilty, right, or you do the walk of shame to the bathroom, the little light bulb is supposed to go over your head and go, wait a minute, I was drunk. I couldn't have consented. I didn't want to do this. This is exactly like that girl in the psychodrama that I saw. And therefore, I'm a victim. I've been raped. Now, she could be jealous. She could be upset. She could be trying to distract from who knows what and accuses a guy of raping her. He's immediately thrown off campus. He doesn't have, as we said, due process. They have these hearings you're talking about where he doesn't have the right to an attorney and that the evidence is not to be presented or it's a closed hearing. If he makes statements, they can be used against him later. I mean, this is a very, very unfriendly place for a young man to be. And that's a big problem, and it's shown because at this point, 60-70% of the students are female, and less guys are going to college and to graduate school and so forth, the professional schools, because of these aspects, among other things. And the new California thing, this yes means yes or whatever, that's the outgrowth of what was originally, you know, when I was growing up, you know, 20 years ago, it was what they said, no means no. And a woman say no, and you say no, and there's no maybe, and if she says no, you stop whatever you're doing immediately and take your hands off of her. What they're proposing, and by the way, these things, you know, men are petrified of women in politics and so forth. They're not going to vote against these things. This went through the committee in California's legislature unanimously. And what they're essentially suggesting, which is, I think this is actually going to happen, is they're going to present, when you're a student, they're going to give you a little index card. Okay, and it's going to say kiss, touch breasts, touch shoulder, take off shirt, touch under waist, you know, and you're going to be with a girl, and each time you progress to the next thing, you have to have her sign, you know, like her initials. know, mm-hmm.
yeah,
on the card.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a you have to have progressive incent.
Like, yes,
you, as
exactly.
it progresses for everything. You,
yeah.
If you, do you want me to kiss you some more? Do you not want me to kiss you some more? Do you want me
no,
to turn
but
over?
Before you turn her on the back or whatever, you have to get her to sign for that as well.
Yep,
there
exactly.
There was an interesting case that went to the California Supreme Court a number of years ago where this couple was actually having sex. And while they were actually having sex, the girl says, stop. Okay? So he's there screwing her. They're pounding away. She has some kind of thing. She says, stop. And he finished, right? He didn't stop. And that was considered an act of rape. So mm-hmm. in other words, not only is the consent that you're referring to necessary, but the consent in general can be withdrawn at any time, you know? Now, mm-hmm. when you do a little, like, rough whatever with a girl, right, sometimes she starts saying no or stop, right? That's part of the fun, supposedly, right?
Well, yeah, that happens.
Well, hold on. Now it turns out that when she said stop, you better have stopped, okay?
Yep.
And you might be raping her at that point. And, you know, they're going to make this so deadly and so confusing and so costly, you know, for young men that, I mean, it just goes against the whole reality of human nature and human experience. I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, being a young man now. Sorry?
Oh, and I was saying what's even scary, too, is that even for an individual like me who's in graduate school, this can still be held over you through in a postgraduate school.
Oh, I'm
also.
Sure it's problematic in graduate school as well.
Yeah, so and my big question is how long until this just becomes, I mean, almost de novo law, like that judges are just going to be starting to take this, or the legislature is going to pass this, because as we know, California, we set the precedent for legislative, you know, actions in the country, which sets the legislative actions for the world.
No, there's no doubt.
So what, I mean, what is the real, is the only, I mean, in personally, I just think, as it works anyways, just ignore girls, they'll come to you anyways because they're attention whores. But the fact is that what you know, actions do males have? Because I've tried to give advice to many of my friends, and they don't understand the depth that this, like, devious kind of bill goes to.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at talking about graduate school, I mean, graduate schools are now more than 80% female.
Oh, so, I know. Yes,
you know, less and less guys are getting into what are now female spaces, essentially. And it's funny when you see all these women who are, you know, lawyers and doctors and saying, you know, they can't find a guy or whatever, because there aren't that many professional guys graduating school anymore. There's going to be less and less, you know, possibilities for that. And, I mean, when you think about taking this whole conceptualization, which is really the Duluth model, essentially,
yes,
particularly in, you know, domestic violence, and we've talked about that on some other shows about how that's, you know, concerned. You know, the basic premise is how women are the eternal victims. And if mm-hmm. you look at, you know, domestic violence was men and women beating each other up. All statistics show that it happens in equal quantities, and yet you have the Violence Against Women's Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's
yes,
still, I just saw the President Obama talking just the other day, I think even yesterday or something, and he's referring to women having unequal pay, which we've already seen is bullshit. I mean, you know,
Warren Farrell.
He has written multiple books about this. It's not true, and it's repeated, and it goes eventually to that Nazi thing, which is, you know, if you repeat a lie often enough, it starts to become true to people. It's very, very upsetting, you know, and I'm like the father of boys, you know, and mm-hmm. I know that my sons are going to go to school and they're going to deal with this BS, and it's really scary. I mean, there's a famous woman who's a feminist, whatever, one of these hardcore feminists in New York City. Tom, you would love this woman. One of these, how do you refer to the New York girls, Tom?
Oh, ball busting bitches.
yeah. She's a ball busting bitch, all right. Anyway, so she had her son accused of rape at one of the elite schools in the Northeast, and she just lost her mind. She wrote a whole thing in the New York Times about it. And she couldn't believe that they, you know, did this to her son, and it's the laws that she championed. And, you know, mm-hmm. if you're a young man now, you've got to really think carefully, because that woman who you're with only needs to make one phone call, and it will turn your whole life upside down.
And now, Adam, is this only between two adults who go to a particular school and they both go to the same school? Or is this anybody, maybe you go go on a date with somebody at the school down the road?
Well, it's meant to be, like, on campus.
From my understanding, it's any school that receives any federal money for grants or loans. So
no, but what if, we don't go to the same school? You know, yeah, what if I go to UCLA and she goes to USC?
That's not going to save you, Tom. Of course. Really?
I would assume it would probably, you know, go follow you around because, I mean, both schools accept federal money from one point or another for scholarships or for grants.
So you'd have to limit your boning to chicks who don't go to college.
Hey, like you say, Tom, that's fine. Foxfire Grill, you know, that's cool, man.
There you go.
It's not going to be. It's going to be the same problem you have because even if she's not a student, it's happening on the campus, Tom. It's happening in the context of your dorm room or whatever. And the reality is that this is something that is going to permeate our whole society anyway. It's right. Very confusing that you have women today who say they're independent, they're in control of their sexuality, they can enjoy sex, they can have anonymous sex, they're just like men in every way. And by the way, that's Sex in the City. Okay, that's what she was screaming about, okay, in that TV show, in that book. But then on the other hand, all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm a little girl, I've been victimized, I can't think for myself, the big bad wolf came and fucked me in the ass, basically.
Yeah, it sounds pretty much what they say. And then, of course, they have on these same campuses, you know, they have the vagina monologues, which say if it was a good rape, it was a good rape. So,
yeah,
I mean, what is the real truth here? You know, it just goes toward, just like Tom always tells about, you know, on Money Mondays and stuff, nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions. And this is just pretty much, it seems like, another way for women to do anything they want without any responsibility for doing anything.
No, I wouldn't mind women having no responsibility, whatever that even means exactly. But on the other hand, they turn it against us. Now, there's no reason
I know exactly what he means. What he means is a woman drinks 6 shots of Jägermeister, then says, I want to fuck you. Come back to my dorm room. And she goes to her dorm room, and she pulls her panties off, and then you're fucking her, and then somewhere in the middle she starts crying or starts sobering up or starts falling asleep and then starts flipping out. But who got me to the dorm room in the first place? Who told me, do me, do me, do me? And then later she can just say, well, I changed my mind. Well, this whole idea that women have the prerogative of changing their mind is now becoming law.
Well, that's the reality. And guys are going to have to be careful. In a way, women are predators because they can always pull that card out.
In a way, in every way.
Okay. I was trying to be moderate, Tom.
I know you were. But I have no such restriction.
But you and I get called misogynists for saying this truth, you know?
I don't really care. You know what? If that makes me a misogynist, call me a misogynist. Because I know the truth. Nobody hates women more than other women. That's the fact.
The problem is, Tom, that your ex-girlfriend or whatever in college is going to be jealous and she's going to pull this shit to get you back or something ridiculous.
Right. Look, I'm sure we're talking to a lot of future victims out there. I'm sure about that. We have to take a break. And then we got more calls coming up here for Adam Sachs. It's our bonus hour of the Todd Likas Show. Adam is here with free legal advice. He's here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And your telephone calls coming up right now. 901-3000 Tom is our number. 901-3000 Tom. You can dial us right now at 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Attention readers, if you're a fan of thrillers like Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, you won't want to miss this. It's The Simulacrum by Brad Seggy and Linda Yesick, a fast-paced conspiracy thriller that'll pull you in from the very first page. Follow the story of a duo that discovers a secret society of scientists who've been falsifying records, calling into question one of the most important scientific theories of mankind. Kirkus Reviews says, The Simulacrum moves at a brisk pace with short chapters, snappy dialogue, and great chemistry between the two leads as they jet from one destination to another, one revelation to the next, one precarious bit of danger after the other. The Simulacrum, a quick-moving thriller with an intriguing scientific mystery.
Available at Amazon for just $9.99 paperback and $3.99 on Kindle and Nook. That's spelled SimulaCrum. The Simulacrum. This thriller delivers.
A man. A man and his truck. A man, his truck, and his favorite radio station. And come the ballads and the broads and the bullshit. Now that man is driving around in his truck in a storm, in the mud, looking for his balls. Over here, dummy.
New normal. Walk.
Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups, top quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Like a Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show at 901-3000. Tom, the bonus hour. And we're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000 Tom, that is our telephone number. Well, let's say hi to Brandon in Pasadena. Brandon, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey.
Hey, Adam.
What's going on?
I heard your opening case, with you were talking to the guy about a DUI checkpoint.
Right.
And just this past, the same day of the Dodger game that Tom was hosting, I went out and I went to a bar in Pomona. And because I listened to the show and because I know not to talk during a police stop, I just happened to cruise into a DUI checkpoint. And
really?
So when I got there, I was like, oh, shit. Well, you can't turn around now, so you just got to face up to it and, you know, remember what to do and what not to do.
So had you been been drinking?
Oh, yeah. I was 4 deep. I was 4 deep into drinks at the bar.
Uh-huh. Sorry to hear it.
So anyway, I should have got a DUI checkpoint. I mean, I should have got a DUI, but actually I didn't because I listened. So I pulled up the guy. My windows were all the way down because I was hot. So, but when I got up there, I had rolled my windows up to like maybe a third of the way. And he stopped me and I stopped and he asked me, hey, were you drinking tonight? And I was like, no. And he's like, first he asked my ID. And I gave him the ID, and he started asking me those questions. Were you drinking? No, I wasn't drinking tonight. Where are you coming from? I didn't want to tell him a bar, so I told him, there's a strip club in Pomona called Deja Vu.
There we go.
I told him I came from Deja Vu.
We should point out to the listeners that unlike many other states, in this part of the world, in California, strip clubs, especially 100% nude strip clubs, can't serve alcohol.
Right. No
perfect excuse.
Brilliant. That's what I told him. I said, I just came from the strip club. He was like, oh, so how much you had to drink there? And I said, man, I looked straight at him. They don't serve alcohol there. And he started busting up. he started laughing, and I started laughing. And he was like, all right, man, you're dieting. Now go on through.
All right.
And I was like, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. Good strategy, man. I'm very impressed.
I couldn't believe it. The whole way home, I was cracking up, driving crazy, because it was just surprising. I was fucked up, too.
All right. Well, you do me a favor, you got lucky. It's never going to happen again, right? You're going to behave from now on, please.
No, yes, I will. Okay. I was kind of mad because I went out by myself, so that's why I had so many.
I understand. Okay. I just get a lot of guys a lot of guys that either I get them off or they, you know, slip through the cracks like you did, and they think they're immune, but you're not, okay? So, you know, take a lesson and don't do it again, please.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And, you know, just for that, I won't do it again, because all your advice on the show from everybody is on point.
That's great advice. That's a great one, man.
Love that, Brandon. Thank you for that. Fernando in Anaheim, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Fernando.
All right, Dean will go find Fernando. Let's say hi to Tom at St. Clair Shores, Michigan, on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Good evening.
Got a question for Adam there.
Sure.
I've got a speeding ticket here in the Detroit area in Michigan. And I'm getting ready to battle it. And I actually went through the magistrate. Of course, there's no record being made, so she pretty much steamrolls right over you. And I offered an unsigned plea of guilty, and I challenged jurisdiction right away.
All right.
And I was wondering what you thought of that.
Why not, man? That's a great idea.
Good. And I was just wondering what you thought of it, because you know, first off, I see the judge and the prosecutor and the officer all being on the same team, since they're being paid by the same entity, basically the so-called state. And I would think that would be a fairly decent conflict of interest that could be brought up, wouldn't you think?
That's a cute idea. I don't know if that's going to work. I see what you mean, you know.
Yeah, why would you think it wouldn't work? And why would you think it wouldn't work?
No, I've heard the argument before, and it is true. I mean, the judge and the prosecutor are all working for the state, obviously, but that's not going to save you. I heard people say that, you know, there's a conflict of interest because, you know, the lawyers are part of the judiciary, and yet most of Congress are lawyers. So therefore, they're in the judiciary and they're in the legislature, and that's not going to save you.
Speaking of lawyers, I mean, you said yourself you are an officer of the court.
Yes.
So that's a bit of a conflict of interest there. So I'd have a lawyer that would be officer of the court, part of the court.
Right.
I would have an officer that is giving me a ticket that is being paid by the state, who is paying the prosecutor, who is paying the judge. The whole system sounds a little bit rigged, don't you think?
Yeah, it definitely has its problems.
Oh, my. We got time for one more here. Bobby in Dallas, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, a quick question. I have gotten on deferred probation out of the whole Violence Against Women Act.
Uh-oh.
And chose not to.
Wait a second. Who did you beat up? What happened?
Oh, an ex-girlfriend of mine, and, you know, things were... I saw the crazy signs and didn't get out.
Did she start it?
No way better. What's that?
Did she start it?
Yeah, it was like a drunken fight, you know, and got real passionate, and, you know, nothing happened that night. 2 weeks later, you know, after I'm not really coming back, begging on my knees to her, she goes to the police and says all this crap about impeding breathing.
Ooh.
Which I don't know if you know is a felony.
Right, of course.
You know, really backing it with no evidence and just a claim of it. Throughout this whole judicial process, I really never got to make a statement. I was offered a plea bargain and deferred probation for 7 years. was the best.
Wow.
Yeah, with no criminal record. I'm 25.
Wow, 7 years. Wow.
You know, is that roll the dice and do prison time? Or
yeah, well, that's what we were just talking about, obviously. But, you know, that's actually a sex thing. You know, that's a kinky sex thing, the breathing deprivation and so forth. And certainly it's possible that she consented to that and wanted to do that, you know. But broadly speaking, that could be considered felonious because that's, you know, attempted murder or whatever. That's very serious. It's dangerous, by the way. But you see how when the police come in a domestic situation between a man and a woman, you don't seriously think the woman's going to jail, do you?
I mean, no way. I mean, like I said, the police did not come that night. She went 2 weeks later and just made an incident report and pressed charges. So
yeah, see, that's another nice thing. So a woman can have a situation with you. The situation can dissipate. You go home and forget all about it, right? You haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks. And then the cops come, and she's able to rethink and recreate what happened and look at it from a different point of view. And she realizes in the morning or a couple of days later, hey, wait a second, I never consented to that. And so all of a sudden, you're being arrested. That's not funny. And to get, 7 years deferred probation? That's unbelievable. Did you have a private attorney?
I did here in Dallas.
Wow. Well, Texas is tough.
Came recommended to me. Apparently, was in good with the DA. I was hoping for good results, and, you know, that was the best thing.
Well,
even my attorney, knowing how domestic violence cases goes, recommended just, take it. It was really risky to take that to trial.
Right. Well, that's exactly what we were talking about. That's just not fair. I don't know what to tell you. No, that's how it goes, Tom.
Yep. I know.
You know, as the guy, you're going to lose. You know? I mean, I don't know what to say.
That's right. Now, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Give me a call at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I love email. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. You hear Adam Saxon this bonus hour every Tuesday from 6 p.m. Pacific time and 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
I like Dino.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer.
What about Gary?
Beer Magazine. Peruvian police have seized 8.5 tons of cocaine in a raid. 8.5 tons, and they've displayed it for the world to see. And
wow.
Let me tell you, it's some sight.
That is being awake for a long time.
They don't, in every article I read, they're not giving the street value of 8.5 tons of cocaine.
Well, not that I'm aware, but different places would get different prices. So, this could be worth a little bit more in California. Be worth a lot more in Chicago.
Give us a window. Yeah, give us a general idea.
Be worth less in Arizona. East Coast, more.
Yeah.
How sad. This just means prices go up.
Yeah.
God.
They were seized in a raid last week. The drugs were flown to the Capitol yesterday and put in boxes and a police transport plane. The officers were wearing white jackets and surgical masks as they handled the cocaine. Then they displayed it in a huge hangar.
Yeah. I have a feeling if I was one of the police,
yes.
I would look like I got hit in the face with a bag of flour.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, fine.
Nothing to see here, guys. I'm okay. Everything's great. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Ironically, they displayed a banner behind the cocaine saying, "Historic blow to illegal drug trafficking," with no sense of humor whatsoever. They said that.
Yeah, boy. The largest cocaine haul ever in our friends in Lima, Peru. Oh, that's a shame.
There were plastic-wrapped cocaine bricks inserted and sealed inside chunks of coal.
Yeah.
So that they would, you know, set the dogs off or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Chris Brown just accepted a plea deal in his Washington, D.C. assault case, pleading guilty, telling the judge he wants to move on and go on tour. Okay, well,
sure.
I guess they're letting him do that.
I guess basically this allows him to do it. He was charged with a misdemeanor assault for punching a dude in the face outside his tour bus last October.
Mm-hmm.
The judge said he already had gotten credit for time served. I guess our friend Brown apologized in court, saying that the case had derailed his career for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of his time with Rihanna and the punching.
So glad to see him, you know, get a break.
Everybody seems to be so forgiving.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. By the way, his on and off again girlfriend, Karrueche Tran, whatever her name is, she was in the courtroom lending moral support.
Okay, fine. Speaking of getting punched in the face, great story out of Pennsylvania. Dude spent his wedding night in jail. In jail. Groom got a little trash. Apparently, he hit on a pregnant waiter. A waitress, I should say. Pregnant waitress at his own fucking wedding reception.
Well, you got to respect that.
The waitress's boyfriend didn't take that too kindly. And so he punched a guy in the face. He got into a big brawl. And our friend ended up in jail on his wedding night. By the way, he was trying to get the pregnant waitress to take shots of tequila.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Our friend didn't do anything right.
No.
And got busted doing every single thing.
It's the Pennsylvania way. Just saying. I think this is outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, our friend basically getting handsy with her, they say.
Yeah, handsy. Is that a word that they use in Pennsylvania?
He was getting handsy
with the girl.
Yeah. Our friend basically looks like he wasn't having a good night.
Yeah. The woman says, he started rubbing my head and put his hand on my body, just touchy-feely. And, of course, it was described as handsy later.
I guess when our friend was bleeding, he began to yell that he was HIV positive while he resisted arrest. He later denied ever even saying that by the time he got back to the station.
I have AIDS!
Our friend, wasn't quite the night he envisioned, nor his bride.
So sad to see summer go. Pick alerts for you, a million of them over the weekend. Every hot girl taking selfies in bikinis. You'd see them all on the Facebook. Jocelyn Cano was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You got Carissa Rosario, unbelievable. These are just ridiculous.
The nice thing is, yes, it's an end of the summer. However, it is just the beginning for the South Beaches of Miami.
That's true.
Don't worry.
Yeah, it's just not the same. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Fabulous.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything. Even groceries at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
This is the new normal.